Chapter 143. Wonders. I rise early to profit from the day. Each day has a limited number of hours, and one never really knows how many one is going to need. The note nailed to the wall opposite my meagre lair, "Get out of bed, you fool," is already obsolete. Now I dance to a different beat, and new obligations hover on my horizon, like wasps ready to inflict a sudden sting. I am to phone the Tempest Agency to check in at 8:30. Looking out the window, I see that the day is rather dull, grim, lowly hung cloud cover not letting the light in. Even the sombre trees seen through the window are signalling me to stay put. "Not out here," they sigh. "Better where you are." Nevertheless, I drag reluctant trousers on and slip myself into shoes. I button and buckle up and then look at myself in a shard of mirror balanced on the windowsill. "It'll just have to do," I decide, seeing that face staring back at me from the other side. The other me, the one that people see, the stranger, the one that does not correspond to what I know as me. "A chilly grey morning indeed," I propose, as I stand at the back door, looking out on the dank yard. I shuffle through fallen leaves to the deficient latrine. No door, no seat, no cistern, no water in the flushing bucket. Where I sit on this humble throne, looking out on the world, mustering the smallest trace of enthusiasm or even a pinch of caprice, I go out into the world again. A wisp of mist hangs over the canal, where a couple of ducks paddle aimlessly, oblivious to their grim surroundings. Rolling last few coins in pocket, I make my way to the square, where a public phone cubicle stands all alone, amidst crisp packets and empty cans fidgeting in the breeze. A man on a bench, wrapped in a blanket of some kind, holds out a hand in a grubby fingerless glove, with a small brown coin placed on the palm. Is he offering or requesting? Giving or taking? I stare at the coin like an idiot, as if in a trance, until snowflakes magically appear, spinning on air and gently falling to the ground. Gently, ever so gently, snowflakes descend. Having not seen snow fall before, the moment is immediately unique and lingers in my mind, before being filed away with all those other first experiences, soon to be ignored or forgotten. In the meantime, I make the call, the last few coins clattering through the innards of the machine and gone forever, followed by my audible sigh when informed that I will not be required today down the mine, I mean, for office work. Thank you, I reply, with far too much enthusiasm. I turn to see Diana coming out of a shop in the company of a tall woman dressed in overalls and with hair tinted indigo and cropped to reveal an aesthetically pleasing shape of head. "What a beautiful head," I say ridiculously. "Barb," says Diana, nodding in direction of tall companion. "You're hooked for life. Barb." "Short for Barbara," says the tall woman with the beautifully shaped head. I thought all heads were the same, says Diana, like femurs or hip bones. Clearly not the case, I argue. I fear that mine will turn out to be just like my grandfather's, poor me, once the hair has gone. The two of them are slipping groceries out from under their clothes and pooling them in a plastic bag. Cheese, sliced salami, canned tuna. A packet of spaghetti slips out of Barb's sleeve. For later, says Barb. Breakfast? Diana chimes. And accepting this suggestion, we head down to Broadway Market via the canal path. Just can't keep away from it. Seeing twisted fragments of the world reflected on its surface. Acneed with litter floating belly up. At the heavy black gates of the lock, an arc of water pours over a bypass spillway. A girl and boy drowned here last summer, says Barb, sucked under by the current. Concern I feel furrowing my brow. Not that there is anything I can do about it now. We pass the lock in silence and nobody looks back. The sky has miraculously cleared somewhat now and I am not going to work. And a gentle sun is spreading timid joy on this particular scene. Subtlety, says Diana. We barge through the door of Con's Cafe and take a table by the steamed-up window. And there is nothing like the cheer of breakfast. Its clatter and steam, the smell of bacon and tea, and the day full of promise. I take this opportunity to update notebook, which I pluck from my top pocket like a transport inspector about to issue a fine. I lick pencil and write wonders, below which I scribble an overdue list of spoils from this current adventure. World made small by plane. Huntress Fountain, Hyde Park. Her lithe, cool, smooth, bronze limbs. You reach out to touch. Poised, arrow drawn back gracefully. Woman with garbage in pram, beating child. Old man in pub, not at all well. Pyramids of eggs in the market. Rows of black-eyed chickens hanging, throats slit. A pig's head. Three sisters selling fruit. Pretty one smiles at me. Fine gold chain against throat. Cheeks pink. Bolts of printed Indian cloth. The woman with shoes made of string and bark. The man with newspaper screwed in his ears. Coffins standing on their ends against the undertaker's wall. Smell of curry. Airship lurking in a cloud. Fish nibbling at condom floating on canal where a brother and sister drowned. Woman with indigo head. The way poached egg spreads. In all directions, across a white plate, like the dawns I miss.